From Berean Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Please have your Bible ready and stay with us as the Reverend Philip Owen opens the Scriptures to Let the Bible Speak.
First Timothy in the New Testament Scriptures, chapter 6, verse 13, the Apostle Paul instructing young Pastor Timothy, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Our first selection is called Immortal, Invisible. Imagine that you died today and were brought face to face with God at the gate of heaven. If he asked you the question, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? Would you reply in so many words that you had lived a decent life, that you had tried to help people and that you had done the best that you could? Perhaps you would say that you had given your money to good causes, that you had gone to church regularly, and that you had been an exemplary neighbor. Or would you tell God that he should let you into heaven because you had responded to an altar call, that you had signed a decision card, that you had been baptized, or had been a faithful member of your church? What would you say if I told you that based on responses like these, God would not and could not let you into heaven? All of these answers, and many more like them, reveal one very sad and important thing about those who believe that these things will see them through. They believe that good works will save them from hell. But what does the Bible say? God's Word says that it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but that His mercy alone is the cause for our salvation. Titus 3:5. Salvation from sin and hell can never be obtained by trying to live a good life or keeping the Ten Commandments. God's law can only condemn you. It cannot save you. It demands perfect obedience, which neither you nor I can give, because every man born into this world is a sinner without any power to meet the demands of God's holy law. God's law reveals sin and the need of a Savior outside of ourselves. Remember, it only takes the breaking of one of God's commandments to condemn a man to hell forever. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Tragically, many people imagine that God will just simply overlook all their sins and let them into heaven. After all, it is argued, He is a God of love and mercy and would never condemn anyone to hell who had tried to do their best. But while God is certainly one who is full of compassion, yet He is also a God who is full of justice. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, Isaiah 13:11. His own holy law demands that every sin be punished. The Bible says that in the eyes of God, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. Therefore, if you present hope for heaven in your good life, you have no ground for hope at all. But there is good news. God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, left heaven and came into this world to save those who could never save themselves. He was crucified on the cross in order to take the wrath of God in the place of sinners. God the Father punished sin in Christ on Calvary, not for sin that He had committed, but for the sins of others. As Isaiah 53:5 says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Not only do you need someone who can take away the punishment of God for your sin, but you need someone who can make you perfectly righteous in the eyes of a holy and just God. That is why Christ is the answer. He's the only Savior of sinners. As the God-man, He kept perfectly that law of God that you could not keep. And if you will lean your whole weight on what He has done for your salvation and on His righteousness, God will accept you as righteous for Christ's sake. He will save you. Christ states the matter very plainly. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. He is the way. He is not one of many ways to God. He is the one and only way. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you do not go to Him and take the salvation that He, even now, freely offers you, then you must, upon your death, personally bear the wrath of God in hell forever. The factor that determines where you will spend eternity depends on whether or not you are in Christ. Call upon the Lord Jesus right now where you are. Confess to Him that you are indeed a sinner that deserves to be punished, that you have no good works that could ever make you acceptable, and that you have no power whatsoever to save yourself. Then plead the gospel truth that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those that were lost. Ask Him to save you from your sin and the judgment to come. Go to Him even now, for He said in John 6:37, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, that shadows the driver's feet land. He hides my life in the depths of His love, and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand. of a rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. Behind my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
Our Father, we thank Thee for the security that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that the name of God is a strong tower, and they that runneth into it are safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. And we pray that souls would find the safety of the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ today and the salvation that He secures through His precious blood. Bless Thy word to our hearts. May the Spirit of God be active in each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn to an unfamiliar book, I think, in the Scriptures called the Song of Solomon or Canticles. This is right after Ecclesiastes and just before Isaiah in the Old Testament Scriptures. We're looking at chapter 2 of the Song of Solomon. The Lord Jesus Christ, we believe, who is the theme of the Scriptures, is speaking, the beloved of the saints. He says, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the rose of Sharon. This, we call, is a figure of speech. The metaphor. Metaphor literally means to carry over, to transfer. A metaphor is a representation of one, where a simile would be the resemblance, like or as. Simile would be more true to fact, but the metaphor is truer to feeling. A metaphor declares that one is something, and that something is a representation. A metaphor has three particular aspects: the topic, the image, and the point of similarity. For instance, when the Lord Jesus Christ called Herod that fox, the topic was Herod, the image was the fox, and the point of similarity is certainly is not that he had red hair or a long tail, but that he was sly and he was deceitful. This metaphor that the Lord Jesus uses of himself also has these three aspects to it: the topic, the image, and the point of similarity. The topic is the Lord Jesus Christ here. I am the rose of Sharon. The image is the rose, and we have to look at the points of similarity. We think of certainly that which is prized, that which is expensive, that which is glorious. But I'd like to speak to us from this metaphor, this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word rose is found twice in the Bible, here in the Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 1, and in Isaiah chapter 35 verse 1, where the scripture says that the desert shall blossom as the rose. When we think of Christ being the rose of Sharon, we think of Him being preeminent. He is not a rose of Sharon. He calls Himself the rose of Sharon. The rose above all flowers is preeminent. We would all believe this. We would all recognize this. The rose is the universal flower of distinction. So our Lord Jesus Christ is the universal person of distinction. He is altogether lovely. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sharon was a plain that was very fertile and beautiful, luxurious. It was a virtual garden. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says He's the rose of Sharon. He's the rose of the plains. He is preeminent among all of God's creatures because He's the Creator. He's the Son of God. He's preeminent above all creation, for He created all things and sustains all things. Christ, the rose of Sharon, is preeminent. He is the one to be preferred. As John the Baptist said, He it was that was before me, because He is before me. Oh, that we give the Lord Jesus Christ the glory that is due unto His name. There is none like Him. Oh, that we might see that Hollywood and sports and political and business stars are fading stars, falling stars, temporal people that will pass away. We see that all the movie stars and the popular figures are dying off. All the ones that my parents recognized, all the ones that I remember as a child and as a teenager, one by one are dying off. But the Lord Jesus Christ lives on. He died for His people, not for His own sins, but for theirs, for ours, for yours if you know Christ. And He rose again and forever lives and makes intercession for His people. He is preeminent, like the rose is the preeminent flower. Secondly, Christ being the rose of Sharon speaks of the fact that He's precious to the soul. It says that the desert shall blossom as the rose, Isaiah 35:1. A rose, you think of that being precious in its blossom. Oh, the beauty of the rose. Oh, the distinct beauty of it. The blossoming of the white and the red and the pink and all different color roses. They're attractive to the eye. They're attractive. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, reverently we say this, is attractive to the soul. He is altogether lovely. We're to behold Him. We're to admire Him. We're to receive Him. He is precious. Unto you that believe, He is precious. Oh, Christ blossomed when He rose from the dead. Christ is the one who has all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ is the one who is not a reflection of God's glory as His people, but He is the very effulgence. He is the essence of the same essence of His Father. He is God, not a reflection of God. He is God Himself. He is precious to the soul. As He is unsearchable in His riches, being preeminent, so He is precious, as the rose is precious. He blossoms as the rose. Thirdly, when the rose is presented, it is the greatest show of love, so to speak, in this world. I called a florist, actually, in preparing for this message, and I asked what the worldwide distinctive flower is. And she said, of course, it's the rose. That's all men know, she said, but it's what women appreciate and enjoy. But you know, when you present roses to someone, it is a show of love. When you present the Lord Jesus Christ, the rose of Sharon, it's the greatest show of your love for a soul. It's not the greatest thing to give someone money or prestige or reputation or a job. That's not the greatest show of love. The greatest show of love is to tell someone that they need Christ, to show someone the Lord Jesus Christ, to lift up Christ, who's the only one that can save the soul. He's the only sacrifice for sin. He's the Savior who delivers from sin. He's the Redeemer who purchases us from the slave market of sin. He's the Shepherd that leads us in the wilderness. He's the Prophet that teaches us God's Word. He's the Priest that represents God to us and us to God. He is the King who rules over us and protects us. He is God who is all-powerful, and He is the Lord who is the sovereign one over our lives. What greater favor can anyone give or expression of love than to present the rose of Sharon to sinners and saints alike? We need to lift up Christ and present Him, preach Him to every person. They went about teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. You read in the book of Acts as the apostles went forth. No greater favor, no greater present, no greater gift to give someone than the gospel of the glorious Christ. As it's such a great show of love and affection to give a dozen roses, oh, that we might give the rose of Sharon to people, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rose is also pleasing as someone receives it and enjoys it for days. So our Lord Jesus Christ pleases the soul. He's the rose of Sharon. It tells us that the desert, the wilderness, the solitary place shall blossom as the rose again, Isaiah 35:1. Christ causes the soul to spring forth, to flourish, to bud. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You become saved from sin. You're delivered from the grip and the grasp of the devil. You have new hope. You have a lively hope. You're no longer a creature of this world. You're no longer under the condemnation and the wrath of God. No longer are you dangling over hell on a thread, but the Lord Jesus Christ has set you upon the rock, the foundation of His person and work. Oh, how He pleases the soul. He said He's come to give life and life more abundant. People tell us, get a life when we preach Christ to them. And we try as sincerely and compassionately as possible to say, if you only knew that true life is in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You have not true spiritual eternal life if you have not Jesus Christ. He's the one that pleases the soul. He's the one that satisfies. Nothing satisfies like the Lord Jesus Christ. You come up empty and you'll thirst again if you go to the oases and the wells of this world. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a fulfilling well. He is the well that is fresh. He's the well that satisfies the soul forever. You drink of Christ and you'll never thirst for anything else again. You eat of Christ and you'll never have a taste for this world again. How He pleases the soul, even as the roses please those who receive them. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Rose of Sharon, pleases His people. But finally, and very solemnly, we think that the rose is piercing as well. You heard of the thorn between the roses. Roses have thorns. The Lord Jesus Christ is indeed preeminent, precious. He's, when presented, the greatest show of love and pleasing to the soul. But if you're careless and heedless and reckless, how He is indeed the thorn to the unrepentant sinner. And even we might think of this as chastening for those believers who stray from Him. How He pierces with conviction and He draws us back to His bosom. But if you know not Christ, He's not the petal, He's not the flower to you. He's the thorn to you. And He will be the judge of those who reject Him and go on in their sinful ways and unrepentance. Christ also has thorns as well as flowers, being the Rose of Sharon. Oh, that you might not be pierced by the thorn of Christ, by His convicting and condemning word. May you know the joy of the Lord, and may you know Him as the Rose of Sharon. What a beautiful metaphor. What a beautiful image. What a beautiful figure of speech that speaks so well of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Rose of Sharon. May you come to know Him today and enjoy Him.
If I gain the world, but am not Jesus, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? If I gain the world but had not Jesus, would my gain be worth a lifelong strife? Are all earthly pleasures worth comparing for a moment with the Christ-filled life? Oh, what mid the sins and sorrows here below, and eternity, how dark without Him. Only night and tears and endless woe. What though I might live without a Savior, when I come to die, how would it face the valleys bloom without Him,
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Berean Free Presbyterian Church, located in Boston, New York, just 35 minutes south of Buffalo, off Route 219. You may write to Pastor Phil Owen at Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. That's Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. Or you may call the church at area code 716-941-3199. Area code 716-941-3199. Also, be sure to visit our website at www.freepres.org. www.freepres.org. If you're free next Lord's Day, we invite you to come and worship with us. Sunday school for all ages is at 10 a.m., and the church services are at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. We also have a midweek Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Thank you for listening today. I trust that you'll join us again at the same time next week as once more we let the Bible speak.